Good morning, congregation. Welcome to worship on a Friday. We have a service this Friday on this Friday that we call Good because it's the day that we remember Christ's sacrifice for us. This morning, as you can see from the front of church, we have the privilege of celebrating communion. If you are a professing member, if you are a Bible-believing Christian at a other church, if you are visiting with us in our midst this morning, where you are also welcome at the Lord's Supper, you are welcome to participate with us. If you are not a professing member in that sense, you are welcome to worship with us and participate by watching as we celebrate. As you may have noticed, that the church is a little darker this morning. Our service this morning, we have candles, and those candles will be lit after the Lord's Supper. It's a tenebrae service. A tenebrae is a service of deepening darkness. So we remember Christ's journey to the cross. A difficult and a dark journey. And so during the course of the service, the candles will slowly be extinguished. And then at the end of the service, we will leave the sanctuary in silence. There'll be a note on the screen to remind us. But it's a time of sober quiet and reflection. There'll be different people helping to lead different parts of the service. We have different readers who will be coming to the front and reading the parts of the individual, of the world, of the community, even of Christ, as we go through the journey of Good Friday as we remember and think about also what it means to us. There'll also be opportunities for the congregation, for you to participate. There'll be words of songs to sing. There'll also be prayers together. There'll also be times where soloists will lead us or where people will be doing an instrumental piece. And again, during those times, I just invite you to reflect. Reflect on the words. Reflect on what Good Friday is about. At the end of the service, we've got one person who will be taking the Christ candle out. Again, then that will be the time for silent reflection. But congregation, the joy is that Friday is not the end. And so congregation, I do invite you to make sure that you come back for our services on Sunday, either the sunrise service or both of them, the sunrise service and the 10 a.m. service, to hear the rest of the story. Because Friday is not the end. Congregation, at this time I'm going to invite you, one last announcement I just remembered. There is, after communion is celebrated, we're going to have a soloist sing a song. During that time, the youngest ones, ages 3 to 6, are going to be dismissed. I can't call it Sunday school, but I can call it Friday activity thing. So there'll be a time for them also to leave. At that time, I will dismiss them, but just so the youngest ones may leave if they wish at that time. Now, congregation, I'm going to invite you to stand for our call to worship. Our call to worship is responsive. I invite you to either look to the bulletin or to the screen. Our words are from the prophet Isaiah, from Isaiah 53. Isaiah, writing hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, writes this: "Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Congregation, as we gather for worship this morning, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, the one who made the heavens and the earth. Receive the greeting of our God. May grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, from Jesus Christ, our crucified Lord, through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, Amen. I invite you to stand if you're able to sing our song that we've been singing throughout this Lenten season as we've been journeying to the cross. Turn your eyes. Thank you.
justice and mercy embrace. There the Son of God gave his life for us, and our measureless debt was erased. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, the glory and our prize. We adore you, behold you, our Savior ever true. O Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
Congregation, long ago, the disciples gathered with our Lord on a Good Friday. They gathered together to celebrate what we celebrate today. Congregation, today we are welcomed to this feast. We come to this table not just as individuals, but as a community. By sharing the loaf and the cup, Christ makes us one with Him. And also with each other. Just as we are nourished by the food we eat, Christ also nourishes us spiritually at his table with the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation. Our Lord has prepared this table for all who love him and who trust in him alone for their salvation, all who are truly sorry for their sins, and all who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and who desire to live in obedience to him are invited to come with gladness to this table of the Lord. Congregation, I invite you to join me in a prayer. The words are in the bulletin or on the screen. Let's pray together this prayer of thanksgiving. With joy we praise you, gracious Father, for you have created heaven and earth and made us in your image and kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whose grace we may triumph over temptation, be more fervent in prayer, and more generous in love. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. Amen. At this time, I'm going to invite the office bearers forward to join me as we prepare to serve.
Shame that he
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my
Messiah, Christ the King, but he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
The last of our readers could maybe join us up front there. Congregation, as this is a service of deepening darkness, our journey begins. Hours before his crucifixion in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus surrendered, not to the Roman soldiers, not to his betrayer, not even to his own death. Rather, he surrendered to his Father's will. He said,
Abba, Father, dear Father, my Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want.
At one time or another, all of us will be asked to surrender our wills to God's. It could be the cup of betrayal, of persecution or disease, of loss of love or sacrificing personal gain for greater good. Surrender is not easy. Christ in his anguish sweat great drops of blood, but in the end,
not my will, but yours be done.
Do you have the courage to follow our Savior's lead? First station, Jesus is condemned to death. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked the crowd, "What do you wish me to do with this man you call King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" After flogging Jesus, Pilate handed him over to be crucified.
It is a haunting scene. Why doesn't Jesus try to defend himself? He is tried and convicted of a crime he did not commit. He just stands there, an innocent man, and takes blame for the sins of the very people who are condemning him.
Justice, dear blind Madame Justice, where are you? Segregation, condemnation, extermination.
Jesus said, "Love one another."
How pathetic are we not to see
love one another.
I close my eyes. I'm afraid to look inside, afraid I may see the very things I condemn in others staring back at me.
Pray together. O Lord Jesus, so many times we see you hungry, sick, and helpless, and we do not reach out to you. We blindly turn our backs on the injustices of the world, only to focus on ourselves. Haunt us with your love, so we can be love to your world. Amen. The second station, Jesus is condemned to death. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me." Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place of the skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha.
Humanity is burdened with many crosses. War, hunger, and famine, greed and poverty, sickness and death. We can't escape them. It gets harder to watch the news.
I watch my neighbors bear their crosses. Some are mourning, some are struggling to survive financially. Some are living in fear and loneliness. I pray about them every day. Is there more to be done?
Jesus said, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me."
The cross? Surely you can't mean, no, not the cross. Please. Abba, please.
Jesus went out, carrying his cross. He knows what it is to carry a heavy burden. He showed us how, not out of guilt or obligation, but out of love.
Disciples be, take up your
Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, you embraced your cross to redeem the world. Help us to accept the crosses in our lives, the hardships, losses, struggles, disappointments, and pain. Help us to see these crosses not as tiresome burdens, but as ways of surrendering to you, surrendering to your love, surrendering to the peace of acceptance that lies in every cross that comes our way. Amen. The third station, Jesus falls the first time. As they led Jesus away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country. They laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus.
Simon of Cyrene, a perfect stranger in the wrong place at the wrong time. Or was it the right place at the right time? He is grabbed and forced to take the cross. Is he reluctant, or does he step forward ever so slightly at God's nudging?
Where and when are those God-touched moments in our lives? Do we resist the nudges to open ourselves to the needs of others?
I don't like to make myself vulnerable.
Jesus calls us to bear one another's burdens, to let each other in. We are the body of Christ. We pray together. Thank you, God, for the strangers in our midst who often, like angels, unwittingly show us what to do and how to do it. Thank you, Abba, for the nudges that open us up to your redeeming love. Amen. The fourth station, Jesus speaks to the women. A large number of people followed Jesus, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children."
Ours is a world filled with death and destruction, wars and earthquakes, car bombs and terrorists, genocide and starvation. Have we lost the ability to comprehend and feel compassion in the face of loss? Are our tears sufficient? We've seen the pictures, thousands of tearless eyes drained by grief, so we cry in their stead.
The women following Jesus are weeping tears. Tears of what? Grief, guilt, remorse, anger, rage, helplessness, hopelessness. They cry. These women cry, as I am crying inside. Our tears are not enough. They cannot touch his pain. They cannot stop the agony.
Yet my tears cannot feed the hungry. My tears cannot bring peace. Are tears enough? Abba, Father, how can we move beyond weeping when it hurts too much, even to breathe sometimes?
Lord, have mercy upon us. Together. Lord Jesus, in your great compassion, overwhelm us. I feel petty and selfish when I think of you and the way you love. Open our eyes, heal our hearts, help us to pour out our agony and fears to make room in our hearts for your love. Show us how to love through our tears. Amen. The fifth station, Jesus is stripped of his garments. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments."
The soldiers strip Jesus of his clothing. They gamble away his dignity and their own. A man is being executed just a few feet away, and they don't even notice. They don't care.
We spend fortunes to wrap ourselves in pride and false securities at the expense of others, at the expense of our own planet. We can't seem to stop, or don't we care?
Why do I keep grasping for more? Me, mine, my accomplishments, my possessions, my desires. Always demanding my own way and not caring how it might hurt anyone else.
How well we understand this truth from the Apostle Paul. When we want to do good, we don't. And when we try not to do wrong, we do it anyway.
It's hard.
I know. I was there too. I threw dice with the rest of them. Did you? Together. Abba, Father, tonight we see the shattered illusions of our self-importance. We see our possessions laid naked before us, exposed by the truth of what they really are, substitutions for you. Help us to choose the true treasures of faith, hope, and love that bring healing and wholeness into our world. Help us to choose you. Amen. The sixth station. Jesus is nailed to the cross. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written."
"To mock you, to make sport, a sign is placed upon your head announcing in jest your lineage as King of God's chosen people. Little do they know what they are doing."
Don't think for a moment this was a peaceful death. This was a scene of horror, of humanity at its worst. There is no more painful death than the one Jesus died.
It is a love that humanity struggles to comprehend.
I don't want to claim responsibility for this gruesome act. I am disgusted too, like Pilate, and I want to walk away. And yet, on the streets today, do I mock you still by the silence in which I announce your love for me?
Withstood abuse in view of the entire world and never said a word. Even today we abandon you and mock you by our indifference. Yet you love us still. You are trying to tell us that death does not mean the end, that suffering has meaning, and we would not listen. Forgive us, Lord. Amen. The seventh station, Jesus on the cross. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother."
And still he loved, even as he was dying, caring for those he cherished most, making sure they would not be left alone, never thinking for himself.
Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourselves and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Again, Christ reaches beyond his own pain to calm the fear of others. Don't be afraid, my friend. You're coming with me. We're going home. I'll show you the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?
You too, Abba? Must you leave too? How dark is the night of the soul who feels abandoned by God.
When Jesus had received the drink, he said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, you chose death, even death on the cross. You did this for us. Your words still ring in our ears. They are deafening. They bring us to our knees. Not my will, dear Father. Abba, thy will be done. Amen. The eighth station. Jesus is taken off the cross. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs were opened. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, this man truly was the Son of God. And when all the crowd that had come to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching.
Death, the loss overwhelms us. Agony sometimes escapes as a scream. At Jesus' death, the earth quakes, screams. A centurion whispers, and then silence.
Silence. And then silence. The still, silent moment of abandonment that keeps us frozen and watching as if at a distance. It takes a while to learn to breathe again.
When the silence of death stills us and all who have been watching go home, we reach out. Your hand, O God, is the only hand to hold onto on nights like this one.
Abba, you know the feeling of loss. You understand inconsolable anguish. You weep with us. Your heart was once broken too.
Secret in me.
Abba, Abba, Abba. Abba. The ninth station. Jesus is laid in the tomb. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish High Council, but he had not agreed with the decision and actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judah, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Then he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. Then they rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb.